Welcome to the All Time Chatter podcast. This is season 5, episode 5. In today's episode, we have a very special guest joining us in here all the way from UK. Her name is Mia Gill. Mia Gill is a coach entrepreneur and she recently left her 9-to-5 job. A coach entrepreneur was a very new term that I was introduced to, so I really wanted to know of how life is as a coach entrepreneur. So, without further ado, let's move into this episode to know her life story, experiences, and also of how and why she left her 9-to-5 to become a coach entrepreneur. I hope you love this episode. Let's move forward. Hi everybody, welcome to the All Time Chatter podcast. Today I have a very special guest with me in here. Her name is Mia Gill. You probably heard the intro, so I won't waste your time. Let's introduce our guest in here. Hi Mia.
Hiya, I am so excited to be on this podcast. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thanks a lot for being in here, Mia. So kindly introduce yourself in here to our listeners.
Yes, of course. So I am a coach entrepreneur. I am the founder of Boss My Life, which is an educational media company. It's a platform where I just provide lots of tools and resources to help women in their 20s provide themselves with wealth, stability and fulfillment through coaching programs and through resources and all of this kind of fun stuff. And it's just a community where women grow and improve their lives. I am just a girl who is trying to create her dream life and create her dream business, and I am on a journey to help women also do the same.
That's so great. So guys, for you, if you don't know, Mia is a coach entrepreneur, which was a very new term for me when I was like looking into your feeds and everything. So like, how did you got this idea of being a coach entrepreneur? Like, what's your journey and how did you finally land into this?
So when I was younger, I was quite anxious and depressed. Obviously, being young, when I was younger, it wasn't really spoken about. Mental health wasn't really a big thing as it is nowadays. So I didn't really know that I was experiencing anxiety and depression. I just knew that something wasn't right. So I went away and I researched pretty much everything to do with the brain. I researched into my symptoms. I wanted to heal my inner child wounds. And I genuinely just had a passion from healing my own experiences and healing my own mindset of wanting to help other women to do the same. So whilst I was at uni, I would kind of help my friends. I would get, I didn't even know it was like an actual business at the time. I just wanted to help other girls heal their mindsets. So by default, I became a self-development coach and an inner child healing coach, where I would just work with other girls to heal any traumas that they had experienced in their life and to just grow as women. I then realized that I was quite burnt out because I did a biomedical degree. So I was this new kind of graduate. I just got what was considered quite a good degree and I was working my way up the corporate ladder. I was working for big companies, but I was just so exhausted. I wasn't really financially in a good place either, because living in London was really expensive as well, because whilst I was at uni I was living out. So I realized quite quickly that in order for me to be quite comfortable, I knew that I wanted to start a business. And even though I was a self-development coach on the side of being like a trainee biomedical scientist, I wasn't making enough money. And I have had this vision of what I wanted my life to look like. I knew that I wanted to be a mum. I knew that I wanted to provide for my parents. I knew that I wanted to travel. And I just remember looking at my bank account and I was like, I don't get how I'm going to afford this luxurious lifestyle that I want. And even if it's not luxurious, just a comfortable life where I don't have to be constantly stressed and burnt out. So I kind of went away, did what I do best and researched. And I just kept looking at business ideas and typing in quick things and like how to make money really quickly. But I knew that I didn't want to just make a quick buck, because half of the stuff online nowadays, it's not really a big thing. You know, if you want to make consistent income with a solid business, you need to put in the hard work. And I didn't really believe in the kind of get rich quick schemes. So I just kept researching and I came across life coaching. So considering that I was already helping women, I decided that I was going to transition into a life coach and a mindset coach. So from that, I decided to get clients and figure out and research how I was going to get loads of clients, make a lot of money from coaching people and adding value to people's lives. From there, I realized again, I was stuck in a bit of a cycle because I wasn't making enough money from that. And I was also building websites. I was building websites ever since I was 16 years old. And I realized quite quickly that when I was building websites for other coaches and creators, we all seemed to have one problem. And that was that they didn't know themselves. They weren't working on the woman behind the business. And they also didn't know how to structure a company. They didn't know the basics behind a business, because running a coaching business is only 10%. Coaching is only 10% of running a business. So I realized quite quickly that myself and a lot of other people were experiencing business problems. So I then learned everything about running a business and then transitioned into a business coach. And that was my whole journey of how I pretty much became a coachpreneur. I just kind of fell into it.
Wow, so you have a biomedical degree, right?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's like such a big transition from biomedical degree to a coach entrepreneur. And also, the more I stalked your account, you also do a 9-to-5. You also do this entrepreneurship thing. So you're still continuing your 9-to-5?
So funny you should mention that, I recently just quit. So I'm in my first week of being fully self-employed because I wanted to make my business a full-on success. And I also wanted it to be what I do full-time. I'm so passionate about it. And I have a really big vision of where I want to be as a woman and where I want to be like in my business and what kind of brand I want to grow. Because there are also other avenues. I run an agency, like a content marketing agency, where we write content, build websites and build brands. And on the side of that, do business consulting. I also do UGC content creation. And I've obviously got my business coaching programs as well that I run. So my 9-to-5 job was healthcare management. So it was really difficult juggling family, juggling a 9-to-5, and also the like many side hustles that I had. And I got to a stage where I realized I didn't just want it to be a side hustle. I wanted it to be a part of me, because every single morning when I woke up, it was all I could think about. My business was like a huge part of who I was. So I decided to take the leap.
Oh, wow. New info. So like, you are really young, so quitting your 9-to-5 at this age, like, did you have something in your mind, like the fear of, if I quit this, what if things don't work out my way? Of like, what if my business doesn't work out, and how will I sustain myself financially? Like, those thoughts didn't hinder you to take this decision?
1,000% they hindered me. The sort of 2-week period before quitting my job was very emotional for me. I will not sit here and say I cried pretty much every single day with fear of failure, imposter syndrome, and my mindset was just all over the place. But I ultimately had come to the decision that in order for me to move on to the next chapter in my life, I needed to completely get rid of the girl that I was before, because I needed to get rid of that to make room for all the new stuff that I wanted the universe to give me. And I also knew that my 9-to-5 job was holding me back in so many ways. Yes, over the course of my career, from learning my degree to all the jobs that I've had after that and working in management, it had given me so many tools and resources, and I'd learned a great deal. But ultimately, I kind of had got to a stage where I had stopped learning. I got as much as I possibly could out of it, and I was transferring it into my business, but I knew that it was holding me back. And I was so scared, I wouldn't say financially I was scared, I just knew that I had my parents back up, because I do live at home. And I remember reading a book saying about unfair advantages, and I made a list of all the pros and the cons, and I kind of made like a worst case scenario, because our brains are wired to think of everything as a threat. And I literally went and I wrote a pros and a cons list, and I went, realistically, if things don't work out, what's actually going to happen? I'm not going to die, you know, things are going to be fine, I'm employable, I can always go back into a 9-to-5 job if I want to, if things do go completely south. And I also just gave myself a meal. You're then not going to have the success that comes with it. Like, they come together. You have to fail, you have to take risks in order to get the success. And speaking on unfair advantages, I know that because I've got sort of family backup, and also I've got myself, I've got savings to fall back onto, and I know that my business model works, and I've created a good foundation, and I've created stability, I knew that realistically I would be okay. Imposter syndrome was probably the one that I dealt with the most, and I was grieving the girl that I was before, because I was trying to let go of everything that I had already knew about myself, and this girl that was attached to this 9-to-5 lifestyle, who was a bit more vulnerable and didn't have a good mindset and thought that she wasn't good enough and wouldn't put herself in uncomfortable situations. So I was grieving her, and at the same time I was having imposter syndrome, thinking, you know, as you said, I'm a 25-year-old girl who's just a random girl. There's no way that I can achieve the big goals that I want to achieve. But I thought, you know what, you only live once, I have to do it anyway.
That's so nice, like such a nice journey through this. I hope like you actually become really successful as more and more days pass, so that you will be fulfilled once this actually goes your way. Then there's no stopping you.
No, I'm so excited for the journey that is ahead, because for the first time in my life, I have actually given myself permission to just step into my full potential. I've been holding myself back in so many ways, and I'm currently in a process where I'm trying to reinvent myself. You know, I'm not happy with the way that my mindset works in some ways. I've got a lot of cognitive biases that are affecting me. I'm not happy the way I look sometimes. You know, I want to be healthier. I wasn't eating right. Thank you so much. So are you, honestly. But I just know that there is so much that I want to achieve. And this is the first time in my life where I am saying I've got the freedom of time, and I've given myself that luxury of time. So I don't have any excuses. So I feel like there was a scientific study that was done between rats, and they realized that the rats would chase cheese more when they had like the fear of a cat coming in. So as humans, we are not just driven by motivation, we're also driven by fear. So even though I'm so motivated to hit my goals, I'm driven by the fear of going back to the woman that I was. I just want to keep leveling up and getting there. But thank you so much for your kind words.
Yeah, like people in India, as you also know, that people in India look after someone who is like overseas and be like, oh, their lifestyle is so great, maybe they're living like a very nice life, they're all settled, what tensions do they have behind? And people there are struggling, and everyone in life has their like own struggles. But when we just see from one side, we're like, oh, she's doing really well, I guess. So like Mia, as like you are born in there, but you have Indian roots attached to you. So what's the entire scenario right now in the UK? As do parents there force their kids to move out once they are 18 or 20, or parents allow you to stay in your house, and they don't say, let's look for another house or rent an apartment outside or something like that?
So I can only speak on my personal experience, but from my personal experience, I am extremely lucky to have my parents. They, even though they are like traditional Indian, and there are aspects where obviously as a brown woman, there are differences between being a brown woman and a brown man. My parents have never really made me feel that. They've allowed me to be independent, and they've allowed me to kind of grow into this woman that I am today by making mistakes and figuring it out and just letting me chase my passion. With regards to moving out, my mum is my best friend, and so is my dad. He's my best friend as well. So we've had this conversation, and I just don't want to leave. Like, I love my house. I love being at home with my parents. They are obviously very supportive if I ever did want to move out, but they've never forced me. And they've never forced me to get married, and I know that's quite a big thing in Asian culture. Mm-hmm. I personally am in a stage where I want to focus on myself, and even though I know one day I will get married and I will have kids, I'm not in that chapter right now, and my parents are very supportive of that. There are, however, sort of cultural differences in the UK in terms of, I know that there are some brown girls out there where their parents are strict, and this kind of stuff does happen. So even though you are girls in the UK, and or whether they're from India, that kind of culturalness does stay the same regardless of whether you're in the UK or regardless of whether you're in India. I personally have never actually been to India, but I know my parents have. My grandparents lived there. They came from India to the UK sort of years and years and years ago. And even though I've never been to India, they have really instilled the kind of cultural roots. We still wear traditional clothing, eat food, the values are the same. You know, as a brown woman, you're taught that you have to respect yourself, and your body is your temple. And, you know, you as a woman, I used to think that this was quite a bad thing, if I'm honest. I used to think it was really bad between the differences of a brown woman and a brown man. But I've actually realized that it's not. As women, we do have certain roles in society, and men have certain roles in society. And I've allowed myself to just be feminine and not try and step into my masculine space. And I've learned a great deal about Indian culture, and it has shaped who I am as a person. It has shaped my business as well, and my culture and my roots. So yeah, I do think there's not too much of a difference between India and the UK. But yeah, that's my view on it.
Nice. So many Indian families live, so many brown people live in here. Like, they always immigrate to the UK or the US. So like, have you faced, or any of your friends who are brown, or like from India, have they faced any kind of like, they have to be culturally appropriate, or their parents sometimes say that since it's the UK, it's very kind of free, open-minded. So have you ever faced like, you should dress like this, don't go out like this way, don't wear such types of clothes, or it's very like liberal? Yeah, I was forgetting the term. Like, UK is very liberal, so like, do you guys live very freely and can go wearing whatever you want, or it's like some people just come and say that don't wear these things, or it's like very free to go out there and no one says you anything?
So technically in the UK, there is a lot more sort of freeing, as you said. There's a lot more freedom compared to India, because even though I've never been in India, I've done my research, and from the stories I've heard, when I was at school, I did actually experience racism, which was quite hard. You know, in fact, the other day, me and my parents were going for a walk, and there was a bunch of young boys, and they were saying like "Sasia girl," and you know, and even though it was like, it's not fully racist, it's, there is that kind of cultural difference by the way that we act and all of this kind of stuff. We when I was at school, I was kind of bullied for being hairy. So I was like a brown girl, I was hairy. One of the things was I wasn't allowed to wear makeup and I wasn't allowed to really shave my face. So I remember coming home to my mom crying and she would like bleach my face for me because I was really self-conscious about being a brown, hairy girl. And my school, I was the only white girl, the only brown girl among like loads of white people. So I think that was the first time that I'd experienced a sort of difference in the culture because I was bullied for my skin colour. As I've sort of grown up, we actually moved to Kent. We have Gravesend Gurdwara here, so there's a lot of Sikhs here, there's a lot of Hindus here. So I was then a sort of among my people, I suppose, and I got to really understand the culture and I got to really understand our people. And I realized that, yeah, there is that sort of, you know, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do this. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing though. I personally agree with my parents when they say like, oh, don't wear that. I don't want to wear stuff like that myself. So, but there is a sort of level of strictness, I suppose, even in the UK, because you got to, even though we're in the UK, a lot of these, like the generations before us had come from India. So that's that kind of, their teachings, I suppose, has kind of come with them. And I do believe that our kids and our generation are kind of like dying that out, even though we're taking the main core values with us and the main culture with us to the next generation. I believe we're not really going to be telling our kids what they can and cannot do when they can leave the house or what they can and cannot wear. But it does exist in the UK. Yes, it does.
Yeah, kind of like those similar thoughts exist because like your parents heard it, my parents heard it. So it's kind of like passed on. And if sometimes like some countries can really change people and they can also change those people's thoughts. But sometimes like some people are stricter even if they move overseas. No matter how far you're from your own country, you still will discipline your kids to be like that.
Oh, 100%. Discipline does exist. And I think I don't believe it's just cultural. The other day we did like me and my family, we did like a personality test, and it's not necessarily about culture. I believe it's to do more with personality and their personal upbringing, because compared to some people who might be white, I might have had a better upbringing than them. There might be someone who's brown and they've had a better one than me. So it's just, you know, I don't think it's to do with the skin colour. I believe it's to do with the personality and the personal traumas that they've maybe faced, because generational trauma is a real thing. So I think it's getting a good understanding of personality traits, because that's ultimately what's going to be raising the kids and raising a community more so than the sort of culture, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mia, like I have the last two questions for you. One of the most important questions of this episode is, since you're a coach entrepreneur, like you would kind of give us the best advice in this field, is that how should a 20-year-old who's in college just coping up with everything should, you know, manage their finances? How should they get the financial freedom? How should they actually become self-capable to pay their own rent or something? Like, what kind of jobs can you seek and what to do at that time? How to manage it?
So my biggest advice, especially if I was like looking back and I was 20 years old now, would be to really be true to yourself. Stick yourself in a room by yourself, non-influenced, and ask yourself the main question of, one, who am I? What do I actually want out of life? Create yourself a vision board, because I do believe there are a lot of 20-year-olds right now that are just planning for Friday night rather than planning for the next sort of 50 years of their life. And ask yourself realistically, like, if you have the habits that you have right now, this dream life that you have, or even if it's a slight improvement, is that going to be a reality with the kind of decisions that you're making now? Because the your life is only as good as the decisions that you make. If you make better decisions, you have a better life. It kind of goes hand in hand. So I would tell them to research. If you just get, Google has all of the answers. It's the World Wide Web. Everyone is posting everything online nowadays. Like you, we are living in a generation where there is so much educational content out there. And also I would say to broaden your horizons. If you, you are only surrounded right now by the people maybe in your uni, or people in your job, in your career, and by your family, and there is a whole world out there. I'm not saying to go travel. You can see the world from just your laptop. Get on online communities of people who are business minded and think differently and are happier, and maybe find yourself a mentor. It doesn't have to be expensive. Like, for example, the Bossable University, the reason why I made it so affordable was because I wanted to give young people that opportunity to get themselves surrounded by a different mindset, because your brain believes whatever you tell it. And if you are watching sort of negative stuff and you're around negative people and only people who believe one way of thinking, that then that's what your brain is going to believe. You have to go against the grain, and you have to surround yourself around different energy and just go out there and explore, and don't be afraid to make mistakes. That would be my biggest advice. And also break down your, look at your bank account, set yourself a goal of where you want to be, because in the UK we are experiencing a huge living crisis. The society, you know, it is hard. Your wage purely basically goes on bills. And I do believe we're not really put on this earth to pay bills and die. So find your purpose, figure out what it is that gets you so excited to get out in the morning. And don't just focus on a 9-to-5 job, because your job does not equal your identity. Who are you without that job? Because people are being made redundant all the time. Yes, you can have a good career, but behind the curtains, who actually are you? And you need to literally get open a piece of paper and a pen, and you need to write this down, and you need to date yourself and ask yourself, because no one else is going to tell you who you are but you.
Whoa, that was so nice. So Mia, also I wanted to ask you that, any sort of mental health advice you have from your side?
So for mental health advice, I would say that it seems impossible at the beginning when you are kind of in this stage, or it's like your body is kind of fighting you. And even though you have, if there's like a glimmer of hope inside of you, just latch onto that. And there is like a concept that one of my friends has given me about an upward spiral. When you're sort of depressed and anxious, it's really easy to kind of go on a downward spiral, and you just keep going down and down and down. All you need is that one thing, that one small action to get you on an upward spiral. So if it's maybe cooking yourself a healthy meal, getting out of the house, going for a walk, reading your favorite book, watching your favorite entrepreneurial sort of motivational content on YouTube, maybe it's talking to a friend, reaching out to a therapist, or joining a community of people. All it takes is that one step to get you on an upward spiral. Sometimes you just need to get out of your own head, tackle your traumas and what's causing your sort of mental health issues head on. But at the same time, you also need to sort of pretend and fake it almost as if that doesn't exist. And you need to kind of separate yourself into two people. One who's the person that's healing all the past traumas and you're doing that, but also one that is progressing you and up-leveling you, because you, every single day, it's like a new chapter. It's a new page of the book. And you have, and the risk of sound like Molly May, don't come at me, but it's kind of, you have 24 hours in your day. You 100% are in control of that. You get to decide what you do with that time. So just pick one thing. That's all you need to do. You don't need to have a look at the whole staircase, just that one step in front of you. And just try and figure out your purpose, because sometimes it's motivation kind of can be a myth. it's your passion and your purpose in life that's going to get you through. And I realize now that a lot of people in my, like, in sort of 20 year olds and in my age group, a lot of their depression and anxiety is caused by two things: lack of self-identity, not healing their sort of like traumas, and also not having a purpose to kind of attach themselves onto and have something to just constantly work on. So whether that's working on yourself and gym, or whether it's working on a business, just pick something and roll with it.
You know, it felt like when you're talking, it was like listening to all of your reels, and it felt so good.
Ah, thank you so much. I'm glad you liked it. There's a lot more content sort of coming out soon, so I'm very excited to show the world.
Yeah, I was like listening for so many days. I was like watching your so many reels all together to gather all of the information. I was like, wow, she literally talks like that, and I just like the way it goes. Like, I really like people. Like, I really love when people talk. I really love to anchor, so I love listening to other people who speak a lot, and I talk a lot. So I always try to copy or try to enact the way they do, because I find like I can grab maybe something good out of it.
No, I think what you're doing is absolutely brilliant. I love the whole concept of the podcast. The fact that, you know, you're so young and you're doing, sort of putting good out into the world, and you're connecting with people online. I just think what you're doing is wonderful. And this is it sometimes. This is all what people need to do. Like, I can tell how passionate you are about your work, and the fact that you are so young and doing something like this.
What do you think, all of us can kind of do something.
So I believe that you're definitely in your 20s. I'd probably say you look kind of like really young. I feel like 23.
Like, you think I'm 23?
I do. Oh god, am I wrong? I'm awful at ages.
I'm 13 or 14, because people always say that, so I just wanted to hear it. Like, how does she think like I look?
No. No, do you know what it is? You seem so mature for your age, because I can tell you I wasn't doing what you're doing.
You're the first person to say me this.
No, you're really mature for your age, and I can tell that you're really passionate about the work that you're doing as well, so kudos to you, honestly.
Yes, thanks a lot, Mia. Like, literally, I loved the entire episode. I don't know how many minutes it was, but like, it was so, so, so great having you in here. And guys, if you have any questions for Mia, make sure to drop it in the poll box below. Mia, also, can you like say any last words you have in here for our listeners, and your social media links and everything? You can just say it in here.
So if you just follow me on Instagram, it's at the Mia Girl, and my main podcast is not my podcast, my website, sorry, is Boss My Life. me, and what I do will be on there, to just check it out.
Yay. Wait, I'll just take the final selfie of both of us. Yes. I guess we like literally ended it in the perfect time. It's just 1 minute left and then it will end, and you also did it.
I know. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed that. That was wonderful. Thank you.
I also talked to you on the chat, and yeah, like, thanks. Wait, I'll just stop.